At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
How you doing, Super Scoreboard fans? This is Stephen Mill from the Big Scottish Football Podcast. If you like what you hear from this week's episode, you can subscribe to our very own channel by searching for the Big Scottish Football Podcast via your regular podcast provider. Or you can give us a follow on Twitter as well, at Big Football Scott. You can get us on Facebook and Instagram. And thank you again for taking the time to listen to our latest episode.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 27. Sorry, I'm a wee bit. I've pressed the wrong one there. I usually use the other theme tune because we've got two.
You sound croaky as well.
Yeah, I just think I need to clear my throat to be perfectly honest.
Have you been drinking?
I didn't yesterday, I did on Saturday night.
Are you hungover?
No, I'm fine.
Feeling a bit squiffy at all?
No, I feel all right.
You feel all right?
I feel fine, yeah. It's just that it caught me off guard there because it's the wrong one, basically. So anyway, welcome along to episode 27.
Was it Saturday night that you were out late and then we were arguing on WhatsApp at 1:20 in the morning?
Yes.
And Callum, intern Callum, was not happy with us at all because our argument was waking him up.
Yeah.
Was it that bad?
Yeah, also, like, yous are bad for tangents. He's not even done an intro yet. Just do the intro and then you can have this conversation.
Do you want to start again?
No, let's not start again.
Just get on with it.
Why? Right.
Because then I have to edit. Be quiet. Turn his mic down.
Right, so I've had to read the intro.
Yeah,
okay, right. Welcome to episode 27 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill. He's Ewan Cameron, by the way,
hiya,
if you didn't know. And that's intern Callum. In today's episode, we'll look back at another huge weekend in Scottish football, chat to the newest manager in the SPFL. Yes, Barry Robson will be on the show. And also the Palmerston Pep, a.k.a. Marvin Bartley. We'll also argue with each other in VAR WTF and go over your shouts for a Scottish football wear brunch. And remember, you can find us on all your usual podcast providers and on Twitter via Big Football Scott. We're on Instagram and Facebook as well. Just search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Is that all right for you? Is that right?
Happy now? Callum,
do you guys get paid for this?
No.
Yeah.
We do it for the fun, like, love of the game.
Exactly. We are so passionate about football and podcasts that we do this for free.
Just love the game.
Yeah. You know? And that's why we're talking about half two on a Saturday night. Saturday morning.
I'll be honest with you, I was really drunk on Saturday night, so I'm trying to find the message that I sent because I don't remember doing anything.
You did send a message. You told us to shut the
lads,
F up.
Lads, it's 1:23 a.m. Go to bed.
Do you know what? It's because I was at my mate's house and we'd just watched Sports Scene. So it was fresh in my head.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know how they repeat Sports Scene on like BBC One at like middle of the night?
Yeah.
I caught that version of it and I was like, that's just ridiculous. But anyway, we'll save that.
Yes.
For VAR WTF. How was your weekend anyway, Ewan? Was it all right?
It was very good. My weekend involved upsetting Livingston fans with my comments about their plastic pitch. I'm sure we'll get to that shortly. I stood in a queue for 35 minutes to get some beef curry. What else? I watched Barbarian. Have you seen the horror movie Barbarian?
No, I've heard about it though. It's meant to be very good.
It's outstanding. Have you watched the horror movie X?
No.
Are you into 1970s porn?
No, not in particular. No, not my favourite genre, I must admit.
Right, so the horror movie X, it's based around 1970s porn.
Right.
And this film crew with some porn stars go to this house in the middle of a farm and to make a movie.
I've seen that one. Yeah.
Right. And the old couple that have rented out the house are not happy that they are making this movie, and then it turns into a horror movie.
Ah, right.
There's a lot of 70s porn in it and gore and blood.
Right, okay.
So I would highly recommend it.
Good. Excellent.
X, it's called X.
And what about Barbarian?
Barbarian also has a lot of nudity in it.
Yeah.
Not as much as X, because that's based on a porn movie.
Yeah.
But X is very, very good, but it's very different to Barbarian. Barbarian's about an Airbnb house.
Right, okay.
And there's a tunnel under the house that leads to some caves, and there's an old woman in there who lives... And she's naked. She's got long hair.
Right.
And she wants people to drink milk.
Right.
Oh. That's just synopsis of the movie Barbarian. Right? So that's true. I'm not making it up. That's true.
That was very good. I did enjoy that.
So I'd recommend both.
Airbnb, right? No, I use it quite often. No. Right? Wait a minute.
Not a fan of Airbnb.
I knew you wouldn't be a fan of Airbnb.
I said that, though. I did go to an Airbnb in Aviemore once.
Yeah.
That was really, really nice. And Aviemore's not a bad wee town.
Aviemore's lovely.
Yeah.
It's like Aviemore's like a sort of like a Colorado skiing village. But it's like near Inverness.
Yeah. The nightclub in Aviemore, I wouldn't take my dog there.
Excuse me, my friend met his soon to be wife there. So have you know that romance can be found there?
Romance can blossom in Aviemore.
I spent 20 minutes and I couldn't wait to get out of the place. And he found his love of his life in there.
He did indeed. They have a child together.
They've got a child as well.
Shout out, Paul.
Listen, Callum, enough of your tangents. We need to get back to the football anyway. We're not interested in that.
Barbarian and X, watch those movies.
Okay. Let's get on to the football then. And there's really only one place to start, and that is with Aberdeen getting hammered 6-0, and then less than 20 minutes later, Jim Goodwin being sacked. We were live on air at the time on the Big Saturday Football Show, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard on Saturday as well. Obviously, it was breaking as you were speaking to an Aberdeen fan on the phone on as well.
It was incredible.
What was it?
Yeah, so like...
Did you break the news to the fan?
Yeah, because we got a wee text through from Roger Hanna, who's at the game for us, saying, statement, sacked. Those two words, statement, sacked. And so we had a caller on the line beforehand, asked him what he thought the game was. Goodwin needs to go, he needs to go, Dave Cormack needs to go. And then midway through the call, he gets sacked, so we fade him up. So what do you think? What's your thoughts on that? This is crazy.
I mean, again, we were talking about it, and then the news came through as we were speaking.
Have to say, I've been on his case for a while. I didn't think he should have got the job in the first place. I thought it was too big for him. Turned out I was right. And I'm right quite a lot of the time, as I am most weeks on this podcast. That's true. That is actually true.
Don't think so.
No, it's true. But I will say this. I felt desperately sorry for Jim Goodwin. See those TV pictures of him walking across the pitch at Easter Road to then jump over an advertising board to get out the stadium with his wee satchel over his shoulder. I felt sorry for the guy. I really did.
Well, I think there's always a basic level of sympathy if somebody loses their job.
Yeah, he's getting weighed in with plenty of cash. He's going to get his contract paid up. The problem is not Jim Goodwin. It's the board. They should never have appointed him in the first place. I can see why you'd be upset with Jim Goodwin, but he just was never ready for the job. The board made a huge mistake there. This one they have to get right. I know the rumours are flying around this morning that Chris Wilder, former Sheffield United manager, Middlesbrough manager, has apparently said, I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
He had a poor time of it, Middlesbrough. Outstanding with Sheffield United in the Premiership. Kept them up as well. I think they finished in the top 10 in his first season in the Premiership.
Yep, yep.
He would be an outstanding candidate, an outstanding replacement if they can get it over the line.
Yeah, I think Chris Wilder would be a very interesting appointment.
Brilliant. I think it's what Aberdeen need. They need someone who's got the experience and can come up and rattle a few cages.
And also plays football in a very interesting manner as well. Like that Sheffield United team were...
Centre-backs are running forward.
Exactly, yeah. And I can't wait for Liam Scales to be doing that. I'm sure he'll cope with that admirably. But yeah, just to go back to the game as well.
By Hibs.
Hibs were absolutely outstanding because there was so much pressure on Hibs as well. Like, let's not forget that Lee Johnson was and probably remains under a bit of pressure as well after the Derby defeat the week before. It's not been a great time. It looked like Kevin Nisbet was away. He wasn't away now. Came on Saturday in the second half. Ryan Porteous. Sorry.
My headphones.
Ewan's broken his headphones because his head's too big. I actually witnessed what happened there. You put your headphones on and they popped out because your head's enormous.
See, when it comes to Nisbet, you mentioned, I thought Hibs were brilliant, right? I thought they were superb. And it was 6 going on 8, 9, 10. Nisbet, what's the story there? Millwall wanted him.
Yeah.
They've come to agreement with Hibs. Nisbet then puts out a statement saying, I don't think it's right for me, as if he's made the decision.
Have you been at Millwall?
Yeah, but there's also rumours circulating that he'd failed a medical. So I don't know what's true.
Well, obviously, we don't know that. And
no, but the rumours are circulating. But if that was the case, then it's an easy out for Millwall to say, we're not signing him because he failed a medical, but they never said
well,
that.
Well, I think if he failed a medical, they would have to come out and say he failed the medical.
Right, so it's not that.
No, I don't think
it's that. So those who are rumour mongering on social media have got that one wrong. I think that he is going to be aware of other clubs because his agent will be told that we're quite interested in Kevin Nisbet. I think he might now stay at Hibs until the end of the season and then move in the summer.
I think it could be
across the M8 to Rangers.
Well, the thing is, obviously Rangers are probably going to lose Morelos.
He's gone. They don't want him now.
So they'll be looking for another striker, clearly. But I think he'll leave in the summer as well. But if Nisbet goes on and continues his form, scored on Saturday again, if he continues on the form like he's in, I know he'll only have a year left in his contract, but there'll be a lot of teams wanting him if he scores 10, 15 goals between now and the end of the season. And that could mean
bigger money for Dunfermline, your
exactly,
team.
Exactly. Which is what everyone's concerned about in this scenario, more than anything else.
And a great win for Hibs.
Aberdeen manager, so would Chris Wilder is
Wilder's
that?
A great shot. I didn't even think of him. Yeah. I thought Lambert possibly is a short term fix, but I think Wilder's a great shout long term.
So on Saturday I went round the room, I went round Ewan Cameron, I went round Steve Cowan, former Aberdeen striker, and Ali Begg, who's our Aberdeen correspondent, and they threw in a few names and then we put them up on social media. And one of the news guys here, Lewis Mickey, you might have heard him on our news bulletins and stuff.
I'd sack him.
He's an Aberdeen fan, and he quote retweeted it with all the suggestions and went, if it's any of these people, I'd rather just liquidate the club. Because some of them were wild. Steve Cowan suggested Roy Keane.
Roy Keane.
Which would be, I'd love that. Be amazing.
Can you imagine Roy Keane in the Scottish Premiership?
It's not chat that he was in the Hibs job, or he was approached for the Hibs job.
He spoke to Ron Gordon. Is it Ron Gordon, his name? He actually spoke to Ron Gordon about the job. I don't know what happened or why it never materialised.
Well, I know what happened because Lee Johnson got the job, so...
He did, but I don't know what happened to stop Roy Keane getting a job. Was it a money issue? Did they not get on with Ron Gordon? Whatever it was, he never made the move, but I'd love to see him in Scottish football.
Oh, it would be absolutely amazing. So we'll see what happens. Barry Robson is an interim charge at the moment at Pittodrie, but what a mess Aberdeen are in. And let's move on to elsewhere on Saturday, first of all. So we picked out two big games on Saturday, obviously the Hibs versus Aberdeen game, but at the bottom of the league, Ross County versus Kilmarnock, and it was a thumping win for Ross County. Malcolm Mackay talking before the game, saying they're just not taking their chances. Well, they certainly did on Saturday. And how big a signing might Eamon Brophy be?
Good goal.
Yeah.
The first goal's a cracker as well, and that's been their problem and their Achilles heel all season. They're not being able to score. Kilmarnock should have been out of sight before it. Mm-hmm. They had three massive chances. I thought Kamara were unlucky, but you've got to take your chances, and if you don't, then you find yourself on the wrong end of a result, and that's what happened. They lost 3-0, and I thought that what's that is that George Bowie?
That's the they're trying to do the match of the day thing. Remember, we got it.
I can see them in the other studio next door.
That's why they would have snuck.
I mean, they're about 2 weeks too late with
this. It's a really good part, isn't it?
It's quite funny.
So it's him eating a pie.
Who's that?
George. That's George eating a pie.
George is eating a pie. George Bowie from Clyburn Breakfast. Yeah.
Hiya.
That's George Bowie.
I have my phone in here.
I think so, George.
Yeah.
Revenge is sweet.
And you actually filmed it as well, you sad bastards.
You can't swear it's a family friendly breakfast show, you and Cameron.
But this is a fucking podcast. We can say what we want.
Where is the phone?
Where have they hidden the phone? Oh, so they have as well. Oh, it's actually very good. Very good. Okay, right, I'll give them that one. 1-0 to Bowie. It sounded like that 1970s porn movie I was watching at the weekend.
It's here, by the way, doesn't it?
So, talking of pumpins, Kilmarnock 3-0 against Ross County on Saturday. And Kilmarnock are mega struggling. They are now the bottom of the league. Ross County moving up to 11th place after that win. Motherwell also struggling again on Saturday. St Mirren winning by 1-0. So, first of all, St Mirren, they are 12 matches unbeaten in Paisley this season, which is absolutely good. 12 matches.
That's unreal.
At home. So that is absolutely fantastic. So congratulations to St Mirren, first of all, but Motherwell haven't won since the end of October.
They're in free fall, aren't they?
Wow.
They are in so much trouble, our Motherwell. Stevie Hamill is hanging on with his fingertips, I've got to say. What is going on there at Motherwell?
The 29th of October was the last time that Motherwell won in the league. Obviously, they won in the Cup last week against Arbroath, but they are on a shocking run of form. And obviously, there was the World Cup break and stuff as well.
Yeah, I know, but then we're
going to... I'd like to guess who they beat in the 29th of October.
Dundee United. Dundee United.
And then we're going to be into February by the time they play again.
Yeah.
That's unreal. What a record. Shocking record.
So Motherwell are heading for... That's relegation form.
It is.
At least, you know, Kilmarnock aren't on a great run of form either. That's Ross County 1. You know, if these teams can start picking up results, and I just don't see where Motherwell's next win's coming from.
Do you think they're bottom two?
Yeah. I think now Kilmarnock and Motherwell bottom two, I think, is...
A guarantee.
Yes.
That's your bottom two.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes, I think so.
Mark that down, please, intern Callum.
Motherwell and Kilmarnock for the bottom two.
You weren't even listening, mate.
I wasn't. I was reading about 21 on Twitter. Motherwell and Kilmarnock are going down.
Motherwell. Yeah. No, I think they'll finish bottom two. I didn't say they're going down.
Motherwell.
One of them will go down, obviously.
God bless you. Anything else you want me to write down?
No. It's fine. Moving on.
17.
Other match. Other match on Saturday. Rangers 2, St Johnstone 0. So we'll get to the VAR stuff in just a wee second and the refereeing decisions. But. You know, we all thought it'd be a comfortable win for Rangers.
I thought Canwell played well.
Yeah.
I thought he was, what he does, he links the midfield to the attack really well. He's a proper playmaker for me. Can spot a pass. His pass that led to the second goal, right in between two St Johnstone defenders, to Morelos. Morelos flicks it around the corner, into Kamara, and Kamara puts a right foot shot into the corner of the goal. I thought Cantwell looked very decent. I know he's not played a lot of football since November, but I think Rangers potentially have got a really good sign in there.
Yeah, the second goal was a cracking goal, actually. Nice finish from Glenn Kamara. So 2-0 it finished the Rangers on the day. And then yesterday, obviously a couple of matches, there was that thriller between Livingston and Hearts at the Tony Macaroni. Finished 0-0, but probably one of the best 0-0s you could ever see, really. I mean, so many things happened that are just rushing into my brain at this moment in time.
Can I just take this opportunity now? Livingston, come on and get your act together. I am sick and tired of these plastic pitches. I've yet to see a decent game on it.
See, that's not true.
That is true,
that,
right?
No, that's not
you're
true.
You're not letting me finish what I'm saying. You always jump in. It does my head in. Right?
I'm doing it deliberately because you're doing my head in. So that's not true.
It is true.
There are bad. I've seen some terrible, terrible games on grass pitches.
There was five goals at Rugby Park last week between Rangers and Kilmarnock, yet the game was poor, right? Nobody could control the ball. The ball was running away from players.
I think that's more of a Rangers and Kilmarnock issue than a pitch issue.
It was bouncing all over the place. It's unnatural bounces. It was like a bouncy ball, and it was the same yesterday at Livingston. It was unbelievable. And even the Hearts striker Humphreys tweeted last night, how is that AstroTurf allowed? That was his line. How is that AstroTurf allowed? And what he means by that, how can we be having such pitches, such playing surfaces in the top flight of Scottish football? Now, I'm going to give you a wee stat here, which I've tweeted and people loved it because they know I'm right here. Right? So if you want to be in the minority, then go ahead.
Okay, right.
I got pretty angry there and I stopped myself.
I feel like you didn't really know what you were going to say.
I know, but I was going to go on a proper tirade there and go.
Just give me the stat.
Right, the stat is this. The English Football League, 72 member clubs, they're not allowed a plastic pitch. Sutton United, who won promotion from the National League into the English Football League, had to rip out their plastic pitch to put in a grass pitch because they do not allow them in the English Football League. That's every single club in the English Football League, 72. And the reason they don't want plastic pitches is because of the reasons that we watched yesterday between Hearts and Livingston at the Tony Macaroni Arena. It's a disgrace. It's an embarrassment. These pitches have to be banned for the good of the game, right? Kilmarnock, Livingston, get them to out the door.
So okay, that's fine. That's the EFL banning them, and that's completely up to them. So what about, I don't know, Holland?
Well, but I'm not interested about Holland.
But you're interested in the EFL.
Guess.
Why?
Because they're our nearest neighbours.
Because it suits your argument.
No, it doesn't. It's not about suiting arguments. It's about what's right for the game.
What do you mean? Our nearest neighbours? Holland is just there.
Does PSV Eindhoven have a plastic pitch? No.
Because PSV Eindhoven are minted.
Go and do me a wee favour, producer Callum. Right?
I like how when you want something from me, you don't call me intern.
Right, because I want you to be on my side. Right? Just do me a wee favour. There are 18 clubs in the top flight of Dutch football. How many of them have plastic pitches in the top flight of Dutch football? I'm not interested with Eredivisie 2 or 3 or whatever they're called.
Why not?
Because it's the top flight. I'm talking about the top flight of Scottish football.
You were talking about the EFL, which is not the top flight of English football.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If League 2 in England will not allow a plastic pitch, then surely the top flight of Scottish football should not have plastic pitches. That's my point. Do what you want in the Championship. Do what you want in League 2, League 1 for cost cutting measures or whatever it might be, fair enough. But see, when you come to the top flight of Scottish football, a bit like the rule from back in the day, you cannot join our stadium unless you've got undersole heating or unless you've got a 10,000 seater stadium.
That was a stupid rule, though.
It was a stupid rule, but this isn't. If you win promotion to the Premiership of Scottish football, then you need to rip out your plastic pitch. And the reason I'm waffling on right now is to give Callum an opportunity to find the answer to my question. And what's the answer to my question?
Please keep waffling for a minute.
Keep waffling for a minute.
Okay, well,
Dunfermline, grass pitch. I went to see Dunfermline a couple of times last season. Great grass pitch. Would you want a plastic pitch there? No. Of course you wouldn't. When we get Marvin Bartlett on the show a little later, I'm going to ask him, what would he prefer, a plastic or a grass pitch? I'm asking you as a football fan, if you're turning up to a game, do you want to see your team playing on plastic or on grass?
It just doesn't bother
me. No, it does. You're talking pish. You're doing it to annoy me.
I just don't understand why you're so upset.
If you're a proper football fan, you don't want to watch what we witnessed yesterday or what we watched at Rugby Park last week.
Four. SC Canberra, FC Emmen, FC Volendam and Excelsior have plastic pitches. However, it's heavily rumoured that all plastic pitches will need to become grass by the 25-26 season.
Brilliant. At least they put a rule in place and they're going to change the rule because plastic pitches... Pitches?
Works for your argument.
Yeah. Plastic pitches
are pish. Slip, they call
so,
that.
There you go. There's the Dutch top flight. I've already given notice to the clubs who have plastic pitches but this is changing.
They've rumoured.
To be fair, it's published by quite a big... paper out there that that's going to happen.
So there you go. So they're giving them notice, right? You're going to have to rip that up. You're going to have to find the money to put in a grass pitch. Brilliant. Well done, Eredivisie. It's now over to the SPFL to do something similar. Give a point of notice to Kilmarnock and Livingston and any other club that wants to play their football in the Premiership. If you're going to be in our league, you're going to have to rip out the plastic pitches and make it a grass pitch. Brilliant. Well done, Dutch Holland. Bring it on, Scotland.
I just don't know why it annoys you so much. It really doesn't.
Did you watch that yesterday?
Yeah, but... Right.
Did you watch the game last week?
What game last week?
Kilmarnock versus Rangers.
I mean...
It was pish.
But there's lots of bad games in Scottish football.
You're not getting it. You see how the ball bounces. There's Celtic, for example, right? They turned up at Livingston and they won 3-0. It was a really poor game, right? It was awful. But he made changes to his team based on the surface. He didn't play Abada and he didn't play Jota. Because he went with a more, how would I put it?
You're telling me in the history of football, managers have never looked at a really, really boggy grass pitch and went, well, actually, I'm going to change my team. We're going to have to go more direct.
Robbie Nielsen yesterday made changes to his team.
He said he wanted to go more direct. I heard him say it before the match.
But you're telling me. Robbie Nielsen says he didn't play Snodgrass and he didn't play the likes of Barry Mackay and others because it was also, they didn't fancy it. They don't like those pitches and it's not good for them, whether it be their knees, whether it be their ankles, etc., etc., etc.
And they play Rangers on Wednesday night, which is also a big match, and he's resting his better players. Ginelli was on the bench yesterday as well.
You've even got a heart striker coming out and asking, why are we playing on AstroTurf?
I just don't understand why it annoys you so much. You're like old man shouting at a club.
I'm going to ask Producer Callum, if Dundee United were to install a plastic pitch tomorrow, would you be happy with that?
No, of course not.
No, of course not, because you're a football fan. This numpty across from me is playing devil's advocate, so I know deep down he's with me, but he can't bring himself to admit that he's with me because he's a tube. That's why.
Dundee United 0, Celtic 2 yesterday, rounding off the Premiership action. We'll get to the VAR stuff in just a wee second. The first goal, it was a sort of cross shot type thing, but a decent header from Jota at the back post.
What a header!
Yeah,
he was on the goal line.
Yeah, totally.
I don't even got that cross goal. I don't know the goalkeeper's doing either, but it was a great header.
Goalkeeper having a bit of a nightmare, but better than getting beat 9-0 from Celtic. An improvement, a 7-goal improvement.
Yeah, if that's the baseline, and I did say in the podcast last week I would take a 1 or 2-0 loss.
And you were right.
And I was right.
Yeah. I thought you played all right,
but we did this. It's frustrating, and I won't go on for this for too long. But we did the exact same thing against Rangers. We were great for 85 minutes, and in a 5-minute spell we blew it, and we just did the same again yesterday.
You're 1-0 down, mm-hmm. and the ball gets played through to Stephen Fletcher. Mm-hmm. Joe Hart's off his line, yeah. and he takes it first time. See if he makes a better connection with that. You might have equalised there.
I don't think we could still be playing now. I don't think Dundee United would score in that game.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I just think it's one of those.
I thought Celtic were comfortable, yeah. and they deserved their win. And that first goal was cracking. Great cross from Moy.
Okay, let's drop down into the Championship Friday night. What is going on at Cove Rangers? They've conceded 19 goals in 4 matches, and they got beat 5-0 on Friday night against Ayr United. So first of all, congratulations to Ayr United, and they are just a point off leaders Queen's Park now. It's all getting very tight at the top of the Championship, because the other big game on Saturday was in the Championship. It was Dundee against Queen's Park, and it ended up 3-0 to Dundee. Paul McMullen had a penalty saved in the first half, but then Dundee went on and won pretty comfortably in the end. Is this where Dundee are going to kick on and win the league?
I said that last week. I think Dundee will still win the league. I think Queen's Park will stumble. I think they'll fall down the league, and I think Dundee will go in and win it quite comfortably. And I said on Saturday on the big Saturday football show, you thought that Queen's Park would go there and win. I said they won't. It'll be a 2-0 win to Dundee. Queen's Park didn't have one shot on target. Dundee dominated that game, and they showed their class, they showed their experience at Dens Park in front of a big crowd. They'll win the league.
Morton on a bit of a shugly run of late.
What's going on there?
Yeah, so obviously they lost to Celtic last week, so we won't discount that, but even in the league it's been a wee bit wobbly as well. And Arbroath went to Capello and won 2-1, coming from behind as well. So Arbroath closing the gap on Cove. Cove are just a point in front of them now. You said a few weeks ago, Ewan, you thought Arbroath were done.
I thought they were done.
They're a point away from safety.
You'd have to say that Arbroath look as though they might be alright if Cove continue to slide down the table the way they are. I mean, they're conceding goals for fun.
And what about Hamilton? All of a sudden,
they ruined my coupon at the weekend.
Why did you have surely the odds for Partick Thistle were so poor?
No, they were like 3-4 or something, but I had Hibs. I had, who else did I have that nobody thought would win? I had Dundee, and I also had Partick Thistle, and I had Hearts for yesterday, so it was a 4-team coupon. So,
right, yeah. So Hearts led down your coupon as well.
And Hearts as well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So with Partick Thistle, it seems to be one step forward, two steps back, because it was another defeat against Hamilton on Saturday. And I don't know if it's because I follow a lot of Partick Thistle fans on social media. Some of my friends are Partick Thistle fans.
Some of your closest friends.
Some of my closest friends, they're so fickle. Like, they love Ian McCall one week, they want him sacked the next week, and it's totally based on the result. Now, I don't think Ian McCall's a particularly amazing manager, but at the same time, I don't think he's a rubbish manager. I think he's a decent manager, and I think he's doing an all right job. I think there's tons of stuff going on behind the scenes at Partick Thistle that are
But they're so hot and cold, Steve, and that's the thing.
No, they totally are. But the fans on social media are the most hot and cold fans I think I've ever come across in my life. They were cold after Saturday. Because
we've not offended any fans of teams for a wee while. So Livingston, Partick Thistle ticked off and won.
No, I just think...
And Kilmarnock.
And Kilmarnock.
I feel a bit sorry for Ian McCall, is my point, because I just think that... I think he's actually doing a pretty decent job. But again, I'm not a Partick Thistle fan. I don't see them every week.
So. Some of your best friends are.
Some of my best friends are. Elsewhere, Raith Rovers 2, Inverness 2 on Saturday. So all square in the kingdom. Let's drop down into League 1. 4-0 to Airdrie against Allo on Saturday. A thumping win for them. FC Edinburgh 1, Falkirk 2, which means Falkirk closed the gap at the top. Because
squeaky bum time
Dunfermline drew with bottom of the table Clyde.
Honestly,
on
are you worried now? You got a wee sweat on that Falkirk are closing the gap and they're playing well and again decent results. That's a good result away to FC Edinburgh.
Dunfermline are 5 points clear at the top of the league.
Doesn't matter, you're going to play them twice, and you drew with the bottom club Clyde and you've come back from 1-0 down.
I'm going to ask you a question. If all things being equal, whose position would you rather be in at this moment in time?
On current form, Falkirk.
You'd rather be 5 points behind in the
on
table?
On current form, Falkirk.
No,
on current form, I would rather be Falkirk,
no,
because
wouldn't.
Tell you what,
What do you mean current form?
Current form.
Dunfermline haven't lost since October.
Current form.
Dunfermline haven't lost a match since October.
Have they closed the gap? Have Falkirk closed the gap? Yes or no? The answer is yes.
Yes, right. To 5 points.
Are you?
So you'd rather be 5 points behind in the table?
You're not listening to what I'm saying. You're not listening to what I'm saying.
You're just trying to.
Did you not draw 2-2 with Peterhead at home just a few weeks ago?
No.
Yeah, you did.
That was about September.
Well, whatever it was, you drew with them, right? Right, and you drew with Clyde, the bottom club as well.
Dunfermline have dropped 6 points to Clyde and Peterhead this season.
You've only lost one game, but your draws are going to kill you, and I think Falkirk will catch you. I said 2 weeks ago that I think that Dunfermline will win this league quite comfortably. I'm now going to change my opinion. I think that Falkirk will catch you, they're going to win the league, and you will not get out through the playoffs. You're going to be stuck in League One next season.
Nah.
I'm telling you.
So John McGlynn
going in there,
yeah.
He has found his rhythm. He's found his team. He's got it through to the boys. He will take them up.
Just remind me, like, how many championships has John McGlynn won in his career?
He's going to win it this year.
Is he?
Aye, totally.
Oh, aye.
I'd be worried if I were you.
Oh, wow. Oh, quaking them up.
Do you know what I mean?
So, you'd rather be a team who are 5 points behind the leaders, having played the same games?
It's easier to chase than it is to lead.
We've been leading all season. We're still leading by 5 points.
But will you be there come May?
Yes.
Well, we'll soon find out. It's easier to chase than it is to lead because you have no pressure on you because the team in front are expected to win it.
Of course you've got pressure. No,
look at Lewis Hamilton up against Verstappen in the Grand Prix, right? He was out in front, 13 seconds ahead of Verstappen. What happened in the last lap? Verstappen caught him on the second to last corner and won the world championship. I'll tell you what this is, right? You, my friend, Dunfermline, are Lewis Hamilton. And when it comes to Falkirk and John McGlynn, they're Verstappen. And Verstappen is coming up behind you and he's going to take you in the final bend.
So wait a minute, we are the 7-time world champion, Lewis Hamilton.
Yes, you are.
I'll take that.
But you're losing on the last day of the season.
But he's won the world title 7 times.
But you're not winning it this year, that's my point. Verstappen's winning it.
But what about the 7 times he did win it when he led from the front and won it?
You'll see. Mark this down, producer Callum.
Okay, you mark it
down. Falkirk winning the league last day of the season.
Montrose versus Kelty. It finished 3-3. Nathan Austin scoring in the 93rd minute to equalise for Kelty. And if you haven't seen the goal, jump onto Kelty's Twitter. It's a superb goal. There's about 25 passes. Oh. Great move. And then Nathan Austin knocks it in. It's a really, really, really good goal. And a big point for Kelty as well. Keeps their unbeaten run going for a wee bit. And they play Falkirk next as well. Peterhead 1, Queen of the South 3. We'll be hearing from Marvin Bartley in just a few minutes, so stand by for that. Elsewhere in League 2, it's Albion Rovers 0, 4-1. Ray McKinnon getting things back on track at 4-4. Annan 3-0 winners against East 5. Dumbarton, they are still top of the table. 1-0 winners against bottom of the table, Bonnyrigg, who are heading for relegation. They're 4 points adrift at the bottom. Bonnyrigg, who you said might win the league.
No, I said Albion might win the league. Yes.
I know, but you said Bonnyrigg would be fine.
Oh, they'd be fine. I did say they'd be fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like it, does it? So I can change my opinion on that one.
Okay.
Bonnyrigg are in deep, deep trouble, and I still think that Albion could win the league.
They're definitely not. Stenhousemuir 2, Elgin City 0. So a good start for Gary Naismith. That is the first time that Stenhousemuir have kept a clean sheet in 20 matches.
Wow. And Gary Naismith's wife still hasn't followed me back on Twitter.
No wonder. Stirling Albion 1, Stranraer 0 rounds off the scores in League 2. You're listening to the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $24.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Okay. Let's get Marvin Bartlett on the line. Queen of the South manager, how you doing, Marvin?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm very good, thank you. Voice is a bit croaky, but no, I'm all good.
And a lot better after the weekend because you got your first win as Queen of the South manager. Yes, congratulations, mate.
No, cheers. You know, listen, the boys are brilliant, to be honest with you. You know, we conceded one shot on target. Happened to be a penalty that ended up in the back of the net on the stroke of half-time. So, listen, they dealt with that well. Came out second half, kept the standards high and went on to win 3-1. And another day, it could have probably been 5-1. So, no, it's brilliant. And as you said, to get the first win helps a lot. I think I grew a few grey hairs after that goal went in, because I looked in the mirror yesterday, there's a couple on the side of my head that I want to get cut out today. So yeah, the boys are putting me through the stress already.
Listen, so many questions I want to ask you, because obviously it's your first managerial job. I know you're assistant at Livingston, obviously, as well. I'm presuming you applied for other jobs as well. I mean, how many jobs did you go for before you got this one?
No, listen, I wasn't in a position where I felt I had to kind of apply for jobs. You know, I was happy doing what I was doing, getting my coaching badges, getting my experiences up. So, you know, it wasn't a sense of, you know, going out there and applying for jobs. Yes, I did speak to other clubs, but this was kind of the first one where I think everything aligned. Mm-hmm. You know, people always say to you when you go for jobs or you go and speak to people, not everything's going to be perfect. But for me, this was, you know, kind of the best one in terms of the situation, where the club wanted to go, where I want to go, how the club want to do things. So, yeah, everything aligned, and that's why I decided to take the job, you know, and obviously leave my assistant manager's role at Livingston.
Marvin, in 1998, I played a game called Championship Manager. I then went on to Football Manager. Did you ever play Football Manager, and do you ever dream that that would happen for you in reality?
Oh, of course. You know, I was the same as you. I was Championship Manager back in the day. I think I first played at the Atari ST.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yes. What team did you go when you're playing Championship Manager?
I'm pretty sure my brothers made me be somebody like Wickham. I'll never forget, there was a guy called Steve Guffey, and I'll have to check this out. And back in Championship Manager then, I've got two older brothers, so they're basically like bullies. I had to be like a rubbish team without being disrespectful to Wickham fans. And back then, it was kind of like, on Championship Manager, if one of your players decides to go abroad, you couldn't stop them. So Steve Guffey was my star player. I want to say he's a left midfielder, and then he decided to go abroad. So then that was me. I stopped playing the game for about a year or so. I threw my toys out of the pram. So, no, I was Championship Manager, and then I was playing Football Manager up until about 3 weeks ago, and then things got real.
So. How different is it from the actual Football Manager?
Yeah, it's very different. It's probably a lot more stress. You know, we've all been there when you've made a few signings, they've not worked out, and you hit restart on the laptop.
when you've made that wrong signing, you can't restart now, Marvin. You need to stick with them and get them better.
Exactly. You know, I'd have been restarting at half time at the weekend if I could have. So, you know, it'd have been a lot less stressful for me. So, yeah, listen, it's a lot different.
Wait, one more question for you when it comes to Football Manager and Championship Manager. You're now doing it for real, but when I was playing it back in the day, see, if I got my team to a Scottish Cup or an FA Cup final or a European Cup final, I'd go and put a suit on. Did you?
Yeah. I've been there.
It's so honestly good. I'd go to school and go to work thinking about formations and who I was going to sign.
Honestly, your addiction sounded as bad as mine for it. That was the thing. Like, you'd be sitting in maths and English thinking about, oh, when I get home, I'm going to make this sign or I'm going to play this formation. And probably my grades didn't, you know, like that too much in terms of, you know, the thinking of Football Manager. But no, listen, I've been there, putting the suits on. I didn't want to wear a tie to school, but I was happy to put one on for a cup final, definitely.
Tremendous. And Marvin, do you have to decide, like, back to real life now, just like you did in Football Manager, but you need to decide what sort of manager you're going to be.
Correct.
Do you make a conscious decision? Have you made a conscious decision to be a ranter and raver or a nice and calm in the dressing room or, you know, a tracksuit manager, a suit manager, like all these things?
Yeah.
Have you had to decide this? Are you just going with the flow and going with what you feel is natural?
Yeah, no, listen, I've decided to be myself. You know, I've been put in this position because, you know, obviously how I was when I spoke to the club, and I've been allowed to kind of go on this footballing journey because I've always been myself. So, you know, I tell my players to be themselves, and I'm exactly the same. In terms of on the side, it's easy for me. I do wear a tracksuit. You know, I like to be involved. I probably kick every ball. But in terms of being a ranter and raver or, you know, trying to do tactics or whatever it might be at half time, things can be very, very different. You know, on Saturday, literally, there wasn't any shouting at all. It's very much of, listen, you're behind now. You know, you get adversity in life, and this is something that's happened in this game today. It's how we deal with it. You know, I spoke to Paul in front of the players, and I said, you need to get your teammate out of a hole now because he's made a mistake. You know, it's cost us a goal. But, you know, what, it might be one of you boys next week. So, listen, we're all in this together. It's not about, you know, talking about individuals and blaming them. We're all in this together. Can we get him out of a hole and show what we're about? And I did say to the boys, everyone out there will be saying, have Queen struck this, you know, because we're a team that should be doing better in the league. And, you know, to the outside world who haven't watched the game or looked at the stats, they're like, oh, they're 1-0 down again. you know, away at Peterhead, then those players have chucked it. And I said, have we chucked it? And the boy said, no, we definitely haven't. And I had to let them know that, you know, that's what people will be saying. And as I said, in the second half, they went on and did basically repeat the first half, if I'm honest, because they were brilliant in the first half, brilliant in the second half, and they went on to win the game very, very comfortably.
Marvin, I've upset three of the six Livingston fans with my opinions on a plastic pitch. That game against Hearts was atrocious, and I think that the plastic pitch had a lot to do with that. You're no longer at Livingston, but you know plastic pitches. You're working with plastic pitches. You're on a plastic pitch right now. I'm going to ask you just straight out, as a former footballer and now a manager, would you rather be on a grass pitch or are you happy with the plastic pitch?
Right, there's two kind of answers to this one question. Would I rather be on a grass pitch? If a grass pitch is a very, very good grass pitch, then most definitely I think everyone would prefer to play on a grass pitch. But some of the grass pitches we see, you know, we watched the semi-finals, all of us watched the semi-finals the other day, and our national pitch wasn't up to scratch.
But Marvin, there were two good games, though.
In your opinion, there were two good games. I don't think the players enjoyed it. I don't think, you know, managers from both sides, you know, winners and the losers, both complained about the pitch.
Yeah,
so,
true.
You know, for me, that means that there was a problem with the pitch. Now, listen, if you're going to get a brilliant pitch, an 8 out of 10 grass pitch, all day long, there's not many 8 out of 10 grass pitches throughout the whole season. So for me, I'd rather be on a plastic pitch than a substandard grass pitch. But listen, if it's a brilliant grass pitch, then all day long, you know, players would definitely prefer to be on that. And so would I as a manager. I'm sure, you know, the supporters would prefer to watch that. But the problem is getting grass pitches of that level. We don't have enough of them and for long enough during the season.
Listen, I know you've got to go very shortly, Marvin, because you've got to go and actually train your players. Yeah. Right?
No, he's doing scouting on Football Manager.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But, well, here's a question. Will you use Football Manager's in-depth analysis and players to scout players?
No, listen, there is a lot of scouting that goes into it, but I can tell you it takes a lot more time than clicking a few buttons on Football Manager, I've realised. And the A's realised as well, honestly, I get home from football and it's more football, you know. So I've been kind of patched to the smaller living room with everything set up and, you know, she's through in the main living room. So no, there's a lot more scouting to it. I wish I could just press a few buttons and, oh, he's going to be a wonder kid. That would be ideal. But unfortunately, me and Granny don't have the access or the staff members to give us that kind of information.
Totally. A quick couple of questions before you go, Marvin. Why didn't your old gaffer, David Martindale, want to come on this podcast?
He's a busy guy.
That's very diplomatic.
That's not the real answer. Tell us what the real answer is.
He's trying to get a top six finish. He does a lot of podcasts, you know, so I'm sure he's just too busy at this moment in time to do it. I'm sure he'll do it in the future.
Marvin, does David like me?
Who's that speaking? It's Callum, no he doesn't.
One day I'm going to turn up to a media conference and I'm just going to go, hello David, it's you and Cameron here from the Big Saturday Football Show. How do you think he'd react?
Oh, he'll say, hi you, and how are you? I've not heard of your show probably.
Amazing. Listen, Marvin, we're going to let you go. There's obviously lots of work for you to be doing,
yes.
And best of luck for the rest of the season, apart from when you play Dunfermline, obviously. So if you could lie down to Dunfermline in a couple of weeks, that would be perfect, because Falkirk are right up our backsides now, and I'm not enjoying it, okay?
It makes it more competitive. Top men.
Amazing.
Cheers, Marvin.
Cheers, Marvin. Cheers, for the best.
Care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Thank you very much.
Are we doing VAR or what, WTF?
Oh yeah, we are actually. I pressed the wrong one. Sorry about that. Let's do this.
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Just off there. Intern Callum was like, God, you're so professional, Stephen. I'm like, thanks very much.
Are you two trying to make my life difficult today? Have you had a wee pact and you'll be like, oh, this will be hilarious watching?
Just keep everything in. Don't edit a thing out of the show.
I can't do that.
No, you can.
I can.
This is real life, mate.
Okay, right. VR, WTF. Here are the contentious decisions at the weekend. We'll start in the Rangers game. Nicky Clark getting sent off. Ewan Cameron.
Red card.
Stephen Mill.
Not a red card.
Oh, here we go.
Yellow card.
See your hate for all things Rangers. right? It shines through nearly every single week on this podcast. You've got the blinkers on. You do not like Rangers. You really don't, mate. And I think that's really quite sad. And it's a sad indictment on a lot of the media in Scottish football that have issues against a particular football club. Yep. And it's a goldfish bowl mentality. And I'm so glad that I spent 16 years of my life in the Middle East. So I've come back to Scotland with an open mind and I call it as I see it. Mm. Whereas people like yourself ruin the game in Scotland because you are so bitter and you're so hateful that even if Nicky Clark had broken Ryan Jack's leg, you would have said that's not a red card.
That's not true. It's not true at all.
Don't know where you... Stephen.
Well, that's not true. Ryan Jack, yellow card.
So Nicky Clark is red because it's high and it's out of control. The yellow card for Ryan Jack is the correct call by the referee. And I sent you a perfect example of that from a Premiership game in October of 2022 where Ben Chilwell... challenges Jacob Ramsey against Aston Villa. Very similar.
Two different leagues. Doesn't matter. Even,
but it's a similar challenge, but it was a yellow card.
Listen, Willie Collum was recommended to go across and look at it on the VR screen.
Yeah.
So they obviously thought it was more than a yellow card behind the scenes.
But no, they thought it was red.
Yes.
The VAR referee thought it was red. Yeah.
Having the benefit of looking at it from several angles, Willie Collum went across and looked at it and didn't change his mind.
Because he knows the rules. Because he knows the rules. That wasn't malicious. There was no intent or dangerous intent. If you look, do you want me to read out the rules? Let me just read out the rules, right? Because I actually had to Google this, so I went onto the IFAB website.
Do you think there was dangerous intent from Nicky Clark's challenge? Do you think he?
Yeah, it was high. It was high.
No. But that's not answering my question. Was there dangerous intent?
Let me read out the rules.
Right.
Let me read out the rules from IFAB when it comes to the seven reasons that you will give. A red card.
Mm-hmm.
Guilty of serious foul play. Was Ryan Jack serious foul play?
Don't think so, no.
Guilty of violent conduct.
No.
Spits an opponent.
No.
Denies the opposing team a goal or an obvious goal.
No.
Denies an obvious goal scoring opportunity.
No.
Uses offensive, insulting, abusive language.
No.
Receives a second caution in the same match.
No.
Right. Those are the only reasons to get a red card, right? Well, so it's a yellow.
So why was Nicky Clark sent off then?
Because it was high.
Because it doesn't apply.
I think the rule number one applies there.
I don't think
serious foul play.
I don't think it is serious. I genuinely don't. And just for the record, I actually don't think Ryan Jacks was a red card either. I thought it was a yellow card.
Did you hear that? He actually said that it was a yellow card for Ryan Jack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. However,
wow.
In the context of the game on Saturday...
No, you can't judge them both.
Yes, you can, because it's the same referee, it's the same match, so you need to apply the rules consistently. I don't think Willie Collum applied the rules consistently on Saturday, because I don't think Nicky Clark's was a red card, but if you are giving a red card for that, you have to give a red card for Ryan Jack.
Can you explain that one to me? Because that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever, because they're two very different incidents.
Because he's deemed that the first one is dangerous play.
Yeah, serious foul play.
Serious foul play. Then... if that's serious foul play, Ryan Jacks is serious foul play as well. Because he's caught him on his ankle, studs into the ankle.
The ball's on the deck.
Right, okay.
And he's sliding it to get the ball.
Nicky Clark won the ball. Nicky Clark literally wins the ball.
It's irrelevant whether you win the ball or not.
So why are you bringing that
because he's high.
It's either winning the ball is relevant or it's not.
Right.
Like, and you know, I do understand that sometimes you can win the ball and you can get your full through.
If the ball's high and your studs are up and you catch the player's head. Wait. If the ball's high and you catch the player's head with your stud, you're sent off for that, right? That's just deemed a serious foul play. And Michael Beale said in his post-match media conference that Ryan Jack is now a doubt for the game against Hearts on Wednesday because of a gash just below his knee from the challenge from Nicky Clark.
Mm.
Right? There is contact and it's high. That's serious foul play. That's a straight red card.
So Ryan Jack studs into somebody's ankles, nowhere near the ball.
He went for the ball.
So did Nicky Clark. Nicky Clark got the ball.
Yeah, but he's high. There's a difference. There's a difference between... Why are you looking at me like that? Am I the only one here that speaks any sense when it comes to talking about the rules of the game? Because you two numpties don't have a clue, right? Serious foul play, Nicky Clark, tick, red card, off you go. There is no serious foul play in Ryan Jack's challenge. Now, you're saying that Ryan Jack is a yellow card, right?
Yeah.
So we agree on that.
Yeah.
But your problem is if he sent Nicky Clark off for that challenge, he has to send Ryan Jack off. Two very different incidents.
I do accept that there were different sorts of challenges. So why are you bringing up Ben Chilwell from October 2022 in the Premier League? A different match, a different situation altogether. So why are you bringing that up to back up your argument?
Because it sounded good.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, thank you very much.
The penalty.
Goldson flicks the header.
Hits off his back.
Whatever. But it's off him, heading towards goal. And the boy, whoever the defender is for St Johnstone,
James Brown, is
as though he is directing traffic in airport. There's a jumbo jet coming in and he's like taxiing him in. He's got his arms out, flapping him about. There's no need for his arms to be flapping about like that. It's a penalty.
I genuinely don't know what's a penalty and not now.
Right.
Because on Saturday, I can totally see why it was given as a penalty.
Would you want a penalty there?
Yeah, probably.
Right.
So
there you go. It's a penalty then. That's it. Moving on.
But then the week before, Celtic got a penalty. The Effie Ambrose situation.
That was different. They got that one wrong.
Right. Okay.
But that one they got right.
But they still got a penalty for it. And they went to VAR, they looked at it, and they still gave a penalty.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they got it right eventually.
I think the handball rule is a mess, an absolute mess.
I would agree with that, but the Goldson penalty that he won is 100% a spot kick.
Okay, let's move on to the Celtic game penalty.
100%. 100%. The boy actually sticks his hand out. Again, he's directing traffic at an airport. Jumbo jet 747 come in. Woo, there you go. In you come.
It's so stupid.
Why has he done that?
And it's the set. He did it against Rangers last season. Put his arm out to stop a cross.
But why?
I don't know.
You can actually literally see it from behind the goal. He's like that. And the referee, how does he not see that? He's looking straight at it.
Well, you got two penalty decisions wrong.
Yes, exactly. So the Berighetti penalty.
That was not a penalty.
He came out and punched the ball. Yeah. And his momentum took it into Kogel.
I think that's the referee feeling the pressure again and felt the need to give the penalty in that position. He didn't want to have the hassle on the Monday morning.
Interesting that you've said about talking about pressure there in that game, but you don't think Willie Collum felt the pressure on Saturday when he went across the VAR?
He applied the rules of the game. He applied the rules.
No. We're not talking about that because the rules are irrelevant.
See,
when it comes to pressure. If the referee had given the penalty and stuck by his decision yesterday because he had God knows how many Celtic fans, thousands 5, of Celtic, 5,000 Celtic fans there. If he buckled under the pressure, he would have given the penalty, but he didn't. He changed his mind. Willie Collum didn't change his mind.
But you can't.
So he's therefore using your logic, buckled to the pressure.
But again, you cannot give a penalty when it clearly isn't, because that shows how inept you are as a referee when it comes to Willie Collum.
It happened at Celtic Park on Saturday last week.
It happened at Parkhead. Exactly.
That's my point. They were inept. It was a daft decision. It was a stupid decision. I'm sure they got hauled over the coals for it as well. Right. So my point is this: the referee cannot give a penalty when it's clearly not a penalty and everyone can see it. So he had to then change his original decision.
I completely agree. It wasn't. So, he got it right in the end.
Right. When it comes to Willie Collum and he goes and has a look at the challenge from Ryan Jack,
50,000 Rangers fans in Ibrox, and the two people who have seen it in the VAR centre think it's a red card.
Yeah, they do.
And Willie Collum has 50,000 Rangers fans around him. Isn't the easy decision just to go, no, actually, I got it right, and keep all these people happy, we'll just move on?
The reason he said he got it right is because he did. Again, a bit like the penalty at Tannadice, the referee ultimately made the right decision. So, although VAR, do
referees crack under pressure or do they not? You're confusing yourself here, because you said that they crack under
some
pressure.
Some do. Not every referee's the same.
So the week before at Parkhead,
I actually think that Willie Collum would have enjoyed going over it and telling the referees in Bayliston, I'm sticking with my original decision, you know nothing. I think he'd enjoyed every single second of that and all the talk around it. He's one of the first referees to go and have a look at the screen and stick to his original decision. I think he'd have loved every second of that.
Right, let's move on to the one other VAR issue in the top flight. It should have been a penalty to Motherwell Saturday.
100%.
Charles Dunn hauls down Ricky Lamy. Why is that not given as a penalty?
It's WWF, isn't it?
Stevie Hammer was livid in his post-match. Livid about it.
And rightly so. I mean, massive, massive decision there. VAR from behind the goal, I mean, there's no debating it. You can see it a mile off. I suppose the argument would be the defenders in front clear it, he's not getting there. He's dead. Curtis Main won the header at the front post.
But again, like,
Curtis Main won the header at the front post. It's not as though he stopped a goal scoring opportunity or stopped him from getting the ball. Could that have been part of the decision not to give the penalty or to review it?
It's a foul, Ewan.
No, but there's a lot of pushing and shoving in the penalty box. And a lot
Not like that.
Oh, wait, guys, I agree with you. I think it's a penalty, right? So don't be pointing at me like
the
way
I've
that
got
you
a question
are.
For you. I had my hand, my palms up. I wouldn't point. I'm not rude. You're pointing at me right now.
Yeah, who do you think you're? Obi-Wan Kenobi?
I don't get the reference.
Yeah, no,
it's like that with the force. Carry with the hand out.
So when Lauren Shanklin went down in the box in that Dundee United game a few weeks ago,
wasn't a penalty.
Okay, cool.
That wasn't a penalty. He went down way too easy, right?
That's all I want to know.
Right. But the ball was near him. That's why the penalty was given, because the ball was near him.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's not, it's true.
Well, show me in the IFAB rules then. Since you're you always got the IFAB rules. If you can find in the IFAB rules the ball was near him.
Right, let's talk generally here, right?
No,
right.
Let's talk specifically.
See, when a corner comes in, there's a lot of pushing and shoving and grabbing of shirts and all that. You will
go to the IFAB rules and tell me and show me the rule that says if the ball's near him, he gets a penalty. I mean, you're the one who brings up the IFAB rules, not me. So you can't have the IFAB rules for some things and not for others.
I've not checked the IFAB rules when
when
it comes to pulling and shoving and holding on in a penalty box. But what I will say is this.
And the ball must be near him, is that? So it's IFAB rule.
The general rule, whenever you see a penalty given at a corner kick, is that the ball is heading towards the player that's about to challenge for the header and he gets hauled down. Instantly, the referee gives a penalty. Very rarely do you get a penalty if the corner comes in the near post and it's cleared and there's somebody pushing and fighting at the back post. There's no penalty given. The ball has to be there to be won for you to get the penalty. Curtis Main wins the header at the near post, and yes, there's a scramble in the box, there's a hauling down of the Motherwell player. And had the ball cleared Curtis Main's head and was heading towards that boy,
right,
that's a penalty, 100%.
So, just to clarify.
Go on.
The ball needs to be going to that person or in the vicinity for that to be a penalty.
I'm second-guessing the referee, and that's what I think they thought.
So
the ball wasn't getting to him.
If you have, like, an off-the-ball incident then, where somebody, like,
you see all the time, there's nothing given for it.
No, I'm not talking about in the penalty box. I'm just talking about in general. So if you just went and sort of choke-slammed somebody at the halfway line,
you get sent off.
Right, so what's the difference between that and...
And there'll be a 50-50 because that's happened off the ball.
Okay, so this has happened off the ball and it's a foul, so why is it not a penalty?
Because the reason it's not a penalty is because the ball...
Yeah, I know, I get that. Okay. I get that, but then if there's an off the ball the ball's
let me ask you then, right? The ball is up in the final third of Motherwell.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Motherwell half, where the goalkeeper is, he has choke-slammed a St Johnstone striker.
Yeah.
You don't pull that back to give him a penalty.
Yes, you do.
Absolutely, you would if Farr saw
it. No, you wouldn't.
If Farr saw it, you would absolutely.
No, you don't.
Yes, you would.
No, you wouldn't because that. No, you don't.
Yes, you would.
Are you being stupid on purpose?
Right, hold on a wee second. You're telling me, right, if there's an incident which is 40 yards away,
yep,
it's got nothing to do with the play at that moment.
Yep.
You can give a free kick or a penalty.
Yes, of course you can.
Is that not then just deemed that somebody gets a yellow card or a sent off for violent conduct?
And so where do you take the foul from then?
And
just
what?
Take it from where the ball was.
No, but there's something going off the ball, right? So what happened with Zinedine Zidane when he kicked that boy in the chest? The referee didn't see and the play continued.
Firstly, it was a header, but yeah, go on.
But he kicked the boy in the chest. Oh no, sorry, headbutted the boy in the chest, right? But the referee didn't see. It was the fourth official that eventually pulled these.
And then they brought it back and they got a free kick.
And especially with VAR now, of course it would be a free kick or a penalty. Of course it would be.
So if a fight breaks out in the penalty area, there's a penalty given.
If
the ball's 60 yards away,
yep,
and there's an argument going on between the goalkeeper and the opposition striker.
If the goalkeeper just comes out and lamps the striker, of course it's a penalty.
I don't know how we've ended up here, because I think it was a penalty, but I can understand why they might not have given it.
This is the Real Football Phone-In with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2101.
I have a question. Alan Ruff, OBE?
Yeah.
Why not Ewan Cameron, OBE?
Why not Ewan Cameron, MBE? Why not Ewan Cameron, CBE?
Why not Sir Ewan Cameron?
Why not Lord Ewan Cameron?
How come?
How can he get it?
But you don't.
If I was offered, I would reject it.
Because, well, it's very easy to say that when you haven't been offered it. So,
if my jam asked it on a date, I wouldn't even go. Wouldn't
yeah,
want it.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So, Alan Ruff's got his OBE.
He did, aye. Congratulations, Ruffy.
For services to radio.
Yeah.
Real radio, mate. Why have you not been offered an honour?
I don't think he got an OBE for his...
He said specifically at the time, this is services to radio and real radio.
And broadcasting.
Broadcasting.
Well, I'm not as old as him, so maybe it might come one day for me. So that's what I'm thinking, because he's 73, 74. I'm a good 20-plus years younger than him, so yeah.
So not a bit, it's a bit of kicking the teeth. Because yeah, you were the host of that show.
Without me, he's nothing.
Hmm. Right. So were you responsible for his OBE?
Oh, 100%.
What?
The show was going nowhere without me.
Are you in the sort of... So out of the OBE, you're getting the...
The E.
The E or the B and the O.
Yes.
Yeah. You put the BO into OBE.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right. We posted on our Twitter at Big Football Scott which footballers, managers, referees, pundits would feature if Scottish football were a brunch. Loads of you got in touch. Some of you gave really good answers, some of you gave really bad answers. So here we go. Lawrence Lamshankland from S. Jenks, Dick Avocado, Connor Smokes Salmon from Scott Killen, Cappuccino Low. Cappuccino.
Who has avocado for their lunch?
You would have a brunch.
We avocado? I mean, come on.
Aye, probably. Alex Largs, Cappuccino Low?
Capolo.
Right. Russell Latte Pay from Jerry Taylor.
Why does anyone drink a latte?
I don't even know what a latte is.
You can't even taste the coffee and it's just like hot milk. It's horrible. And if you don't add sugar to it, it's even worse.
Indogrill Stadium, Huevos Rangeros. It's very good.
Huevos what?
Huevos Rangeros.
What's Huevos Rangeros?
It's sort of like a Mexican breakfast thing. It's like a tomato sauce. It's got like a fried egg on top of it. It's very good. Okay. It's very tasty. Shakshuka Nakamuri?
Shakshuka is like a North African breakfast. It's very popular in brunch spots around the south side of Glasgow.
I've genuinely never heard of that in my life.
Is that where you frequent, Callum, around the south side of Glasgow to get your shinshuki?
That's just Nakamura's first name. It's a dish of eggs, poached in sauce, harissa sauce. You'd like it.
That's from Ricky. Alfredo More Scrambled Egos. From Stuart Rankin.
These are quite bad.
Stephen Welsh Rare Bit. Hamish French Toast from Paul Robertson. That's quite good. Afternoon Tea Time Kickoff. The Scone Macaroni Arena. And Cheese and Jimmy Pickle from Smiley Face. Kyle Laffer Tea and Toast. Scrambled Greg Stewart on a Mark McGee's Roll. Andy Hollandaise Joe Avocardle. That's from Chris. I'm really struggling with these. Kai Cinnamon Rolls.
Eh? Or Cinnamon Roll.
Mo John Scone. Morris Malpasty.
Malpasty. Morris
pasty.
Morris Malpasty.
What's pasty?
A pasty, Ewan.
Yeah, I know, but what's that to do with a brunch?
Lorenzo Scranarusso. It's not bad, actually.
Oh, patty. You doing patty?
Shut up, Ewan. Paul McSteak and Kidney Pie.
What's pasty?
Danny Whole Grain Toast.
What's pasty?
George Spaghetti.
What's pasty?
Gravy Dodds.
What's pasty?
Jim Macina Alioli.
Google it for me.
Jan McLean. Giovanni Van Bratvorst. Theo Sliders.
Oh, pasty! Oh, like a Cornish pasty. Right, got you.
That's from Juan Cornetto, who sent in about 45 efforts. Clearly has no life, Juan Cornetto. But that's
please,
okay.
Please keep listening.
Please keep listening. The Scottish Cup of Tea. Jesus.
These are so bad.
I
can't even believe I spent 2 minutes trying to figure out what a pasty was.
Dairy Lee Griffiths.
What? Who has Dairy Lee for their brunch? I mean, seriously. I mean, I've never been at a brunch in my life where they're offering you Dairy Lee. A knife to spread on your toast. That's the worst brunch ever. That's like a cafe you'd find in Only Fools and Horses. Here's our brunch today. It's a mixture of Dairy Lee, cheddar cheese, and that... Cheese used to get in a tube. The cheese used to get in a tube.
Like a frub. Would you like a cheese string, sir?
Lee.
Fry and Loudrop, Patty Nevin, and Chris Waffle.
I don't like Patty. Why is it whenever you go to like an afternoon dinner or something,
like Patty either.
Why do they always serve a Patty? Nobody likes Patty.
French toast, Eddie bread. Oh God!
What? That's from Andrew. French toast, Eddie bread.
Cowden beefy bake. Mimosa Dembele from Ronnie Meldrum. Nosh McKinley. That's Nosh been in a few times. Yeah. Good for McKinley. That's from Back Post. Ian Black Pudding. Scott Brown Sauce from Brian Hockey. James McSteaky Pie from Andrew Jeffrey. Leon Balagoon. Balagoon?
Oh,
Bagel. Bagaloon.
Do you know what I found out the other day there on the breakfast show that I was hosting with Kat?
Hatate scone.
What do you think is the most popular pie in the United Kingdom?
Oh, in the United Kingdom, it'd be something stupid. It'll be like, you know, liver and onions or something. Jellied eels or something like that. I'm just thinking the guy Thomas Skinner. Yes. You know him?
I know, yes.
Hello, welcome to Monday. I'm in Gino's Caf. I'm eating a chicken madras at 5:30 in the morning because I'm absolutely off my fucking rocker.
Gabosh.
Gabosh.
It's a chicken and mushroom pie. It's the most popular pie in the United Kingdom.
I like a chicken and mushroom pie.
Steak and kidney was number two.
That's just absolute nonsense, mate. Only in Dino's Caf are you getting steak and kidney pie. Right, where did I get to? Let's end this.
It doesn't really matter, does it?
John Baghetti, Lorna Barisic.
Lorna? Who's Lorna?
Lorna Sausage.
Oh, yeah. Lorna Sausage.
Christoph Berries, Jordan Rocky Rhodes, that's from Dave H.
Jordan
Michael
Rocky
Dewberry Muffin. Bobby Man Cakes. Michael M. Sergio Panini from the Bear Pins. Tanner Rice and Chicken. It's from King Cholak. Gabrielle O'Mato Soup. Freddie Lunchburg. Lack Salt and Pepper. Effie Hambrose. That's from Malcolm McNeil. Ryan Kent Co Coffee. Ange Pot of Hot Brew. From Jai K. Kean Blueberry and some Jean Pierre Tea.
That's very good.
It's from Dylan McGowan's Horse's Co. And Giovanni Pancake Crust.
No,
that's from Raven. And finally, Olivier Peace and Charm.
That one's good.
That's the winner.
That's from Mark Walkman.
Olivier Peace and
Charm. We had to wade our way through such a high amount of drops there.
That was
to get
really shite.
To Olivier Peace and Charm. So well done, Mark Walkman.
Can't believe I didn't get what a pasty was. My head just completely just...
For next week's podcast, we want your suggestions for if Scottish football were a car.
A car? Go on.
Examples include Exhausted McPhee, Brian McClair Freshner, Artork Boric, Skidmark Kerr, Darren Rollbar. Jesus.
Read it.
Doris DeFrost the windscreen.
Doris DeFrost the windscreen.
Keep your eyes on our Twitter page at McFootball Scott.
Doris DeFrost the windscreen.
For the next Photoshop picture.
DeFrost the screen.
So let's move on. Quickly, the rumour mill, because we've all got a life to go on with. Giamakis to Atlanta United in the MLS. Is that actually a thing? I thought he was away to Urawa Reds.
I thought he was Japan, sorry.
Big development on Saturday. I think it's now at Atlanta United. That's where he wants to go, we understand.
But hadn't they reached an agreement with the Japanese club?
You can get direct flights for Edinburgh Airport to Atlanta come May.
I think that's why he's going.
Yeah,
I thought an agreement had already been reached with Urawa Reds.
Well, maybe they had, but they changed their mind.
Oh yeah.
Raskin looks like he is going to Rangers now. It looks like they've agreed a fee of just about £2 million.
That was always going to happen.
Your man Fabrizio Romano said, here we go. And you know what that means.
Here we go.
Tony Watt.
Yeah.
What's happening there?
Whoa, what's the story there?
Going to Ostend in Belgium again.
Again? Why is he leaving?
Because I think we've been trying to get rid of him all month.
Oh, right. Is he just not kicking a ball for you?
No, I think I don't know what's going on at United.
You do?
I honestly don't. It's a disaster at the moment.
I think he's probably getting paid quite a lot of money.
Would agree, yeah. And it'll be his 14th club.
Wow.
Robbie Nielsen said yesterday in his post-match press conference after that abomination of a football match at Livingston that Hearts will hope to bring in one more player before the window slams shut. It might not be Callum Patterson, but they're still speaking to Sheffield Wednesday. He did admit that. If we don't get him tomorrow, then we will definitely get him in the summer, but we will bring some other players in.
we will have a full review of the transfer window next week on the show.
It's also a full card on Wednesday/Tuesday this week.
Hearts, what a game that is. At Tynecastle, Hearts versus Rangers.
So yeah, let's spin through what's happening in the Premiership on Tuesday. Ross County versus Hibs. Both teams will be absolutely bouncing after their wins at the weekend. And then on Wednesday night, it's Aberdeen versus St Mirren at Pittodrie. Celtic Livingston, the big one. Hearts versus Rangers at Tynecastle. Kilmarnock, Dundee United, Motherwell, St Johnstone. Are Hearts going to beat Rangers on Wednesday night and inflict Michael Beale's first defeat as Rangers manager?
We are going to end on Wednesday night Rangers' hopes of catching Celtic for the league title. It ends on Wednesday at Tynecastle. Rangers, be prepared to lose on Wednesday night against Hearts. We are going to beat Rangers because we owe them one. I thought we were a really good side when we played them the last time at Tynecastle, and they stuffed us 4-0, and deservedly so. Wednesday night, Tynecastle, under the floodlights. I don't think Rangers are particularly great at the moment. Hearts are very, very good. They're on a great unbeaten run of 10 games. They will beat Rangers on Wednesday night.
I don't think Rangers are very good at the moment. They've won every game apart from the Celtic game since they came in.
But see the performance.
See this anti-Rangers agenda that you have, Ewan.
This fishbowl.
The fishbowl mentality. Scottish media. So bitter. Intern Cal. You know, won every game apart from the Celtic game, which was a draw, which they probably should have won.
They deserve to win.
And there's you sitting across there saying they're not playing very... Oh, they're not very good, Rangers. They're just winning every single game that they play. They see this... You know, I'm glad that when I was younger, I started school in the Middle East. So I was there for about 5 or 6 years. I'm glad that I could come back, not tainted, and come back with an open mind.
Yeah, very good.
So that I could, you know, call things as I see it.
Yeah, very good.
As opposed to just being bitter and twisted. Yeah. One of these people who's worked in the Scottish football media for years and years. Oh, mates were roughy, and mate, back in the day, mate, all that stuff. Right. You know what? Yeah. Like, that's what it is. So try and grow up for next week, Ewan. Yeah. Try and grow up, okay?
Hearts are going to pump Rangers on Wednesday night.
Pathetic. This has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you to Marvin Bartley for joining us today, and thank you to you and Cameron. And a final thank you to all of you for listening every single week, as you do in your increasing numbers. Thank you very much. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on whichever podcast provider you use so you don't miss a podcast. Keep an eye out on our socials for the Scottish Football with a Car, and we'll be back next week at the usual time for a brand new episode of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I feel like I'm Steve Wright or something.
Bye. Oh, sorry.